After the sermon, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we will confess the Apostles' Creed and sing Psalter 401. It's on me. Very likely you too have used or heard that expression before. It's a saying a person uses when you go to a restaurant and you go with someone else and the other person says, "I'll pay the bill. It's on me." Or maybe you are intending to pay the bill, not just for your own food, but for your friends as well. You offer to pay the whole tab, saying, "It's on me." A while back, there was a trend. You go to drive-thrus and you'd go to pay your portion of what you ordered, and they tell you, "No, it's already paid for by the guy ahead of you." It was kind of a fad for a while. It's on me. You understand, I think, what this expression means. And I begin the sermon this way, dear congregation belonging to Christ and dear families here this afternoon, having brought your children to be baptized. I bring it, this opening to the sermon, for a very good reason. What is that reason? Well, because I suggest to you, both from our text in this service and from the sacrament of baptism we just witnessed, this is exactly what the Lord Jehovah God says to you and to me. Yes, to believers and their seed, in the generations, to us and our children. The Lord God pledges in a holy, incomparable and most wonderful way. People, it's on me. Yes, for by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Proverbs 9:11. In this very special service where we may have witnessed just now the sacrament of baptism, let's think about our text, Proverbs 9:11, under the theme, "It's on me." We will have some explanation and then some application on this text. It's on me. That phrase or expression surely does give a correct summary of what our text teaches. For by me, says the Lord, your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. When the text speaks of days being multiplied and the years of life added to, that is Old Testament language referring not so much to length of life as to the fullness of life and even the gift and blessing of eternal life. If you go to Proverbs 10:27, we read, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the way of the wicked will be shortened." In other words, dear congregation, in the chapter and book that compares the way of wisdom and the feast of wisdom and godliness to the way of folly and the feast of ungodliness, in this setting, God is saying that, listen, the way of true blessing from God for body and soul in this life and beyond this life, it's found alone through Him, by Him, with Him, from Him. It's on Him, the faithful covenant-keeping God. The "me" in the text, you notice, is not capitalized, and it refers, yes, first of all, to wisdom. But in Proverbs and the whole of Scripture, we know the wisdom, way of wisdom is all about trusting and following the Lord in spirit and truth. And Jesus Christ, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom, we read in Colossians. And in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of how Jesus was made wisdom to us. And this text is saying we need to follow wisdom's way, the Lord, and all His precepts. And not to follow wisdom's way means to despise God and His word, and to turn from Jesus Christ and to disobey and ignore Him as only Savior and Lord. And that is only always the way of foolishness. And if not turned from, it leads to endless disappointment, distress, and ultimately even righteous eternal judgment and punishment. What is said in our text, Proverbs, is so relevant. Wouldn't you agree? Especially also in our 9/11 21st century age. And I didn't think about it, but this week is 9/11 week, September 2024. I didn't think about that when I proposed this text for this service. But throughout Scripture, you will find different 9-11 verses that are very precious in our 9-11 age. In fact, it's emphasized more specifically also in that little New Testament passage we read. If you read John 10, verses 9 to 11, what does Jesus say? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you see and hear the parallel between what Jesus says in John 10, in the 9-11 there, and what is written in Proverbs 9-11? Elsewhere, we know too, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And those words as well, they simply underscore and explain what we find in our text in Proverbs. For by me, says the Lord, your days will be multiplied and your years of life added to you. This 9-11 Proverbs verse, you notice, says no real limit to the blessings and fullness of life that is found with the Lord. He who believes in me, says Jesus, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. John 11. Jesus says that to Martha. And then he asks, do you believe this? And let me ask, do you believe this? The gospel point is, congregation, there's just no end to the blessings God reserves for his people who trust and obey him. Salvation blessings and life blessings here and now and future blessings unending for body and soul forevermore. Oh, Paul the Apostle, he writes, you know what? Godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And the Bible also makes very clear, doesn't it, how and why it is so that by God and his gospel wisdom way alone can you and I truly live with real promise for now and forever. God is the one who made us. You know that. And when he made us, he created us in his likeness, didn't he? That we might live to his praise and honor. But then sin came into the world. And with our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they rebelled and they brought the whole human race under the curse and judgment of God. And as sinners by nature, we go against God and we think we can have a full life and we can live well without him and apart from him. Again and again, we speak and act as if God doesn't exist and if we don't need him. And that if he does exist, well, we're better off really without him. Sadly, these four children here before us this afternoon are each naturally wired this way as well. Though such lovely daughters, to be sure, as we behold them. But you see, here's where the gospel tidings come in too. That gospel which God graciously announced even the day Adam and Eve fell and brought the whole human race under the curse of God. That gospel is God would give a savior from sin and evil. And already in the garden, God declared a way out. And he pledged to Adam and Eve to bring a Savior, a Redeemer, a Messiah, so to speak. In line with our text, he said, already in the garden, it's on me. You don't have to be condemned. It's on me. Just trust and obey and wait and see. And we know, praise God, in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came as sent by the Father as Savior of sinners. And he gave his life on the cross. On the cross, Jesus spent himself, even as he also offered up to God that perfect sinless life on sinners' behalf. Have you thought about it before? That Jesus' death on the cross, in his life here when he came as sin bearer, it makes true what Proverbs 9:11 says. There, most of all, Jesus is saying what Proverbs 9:11 says. It's on me! That your days will be added to and your years increased. And now since Jesus Christ as sin bearer has paid the full wages of sin and swallowed up Christ's righteous wrath against sin through his once for all sacrifice, now it can still be proclaimed freely and fully and urgently so even. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. It's on me, sinner. Your life, your salvation, your assurance of eternal life. It's on me, in me, from me, with me, by me, through me. It's on me. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. Our text then must be seen, not only congregation in view of God as all-wise creator and God of providence, but also very much and ultimately in view of God as redeemer and savior of sinners. Left to ourselves as children of Adam by nature, we and our children are doomed. We read that in the form as well. Doomed to perish in our sins and for our sins, no matter what we might try to do to escape it of ourselves. But listen now to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, as Paul expresses it in 1 Timothy 1:11. There is a Redeemer who is almighty and able and willing in infinite wisdom and mercy and justice, yet to save sinners like us each and all. The Lord in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior, the crucified and risen one, is most gracious and compassionate towards sinners. And he calls out to us all to find our full redemption and deliverance and salvation for body and soul in life and death and forever, always in and with him. As one commentator, Charles Bridges, so beautifully expressed it, truly the value of life is only realized in the knowledge of and service of God in Christ Jesus. Inconceivably joyous to us is the prospect of years of life increased here and now, and then forevermore with him and through him. And so our Savior, you see, he calls out in this world of darkness, this 9/11 terrible age in which we live, lost in sin, confused and troubled so much, for by me your days will be multiplied and your years increased or added to. By me. By me. It's on me. Dear woman, dear boy, dear girl, dear infant daughter or son. Your life, abundant life, fullness of life, eternal life. It's on me. This is the gospel message, congregation, of our triune God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Yes, that's the message in all 66 books of the Bible. And it comes out now also in our Proverbs 9:11 verse. And you know what happens, beloved, when we may see and witness holy baptism, and our children, or as an adult, we come into the church, we may be baptized? With the Christian sacrament of baptism as instituted by God, our Savior, we may see and hear. Do you see this with me? We may hear and see the great God of creation, providence, and redemption come near to us and come alongside of us, not just being content to call out to us in general from his word, it's on me, but being a faithful, unchanging, tender covenant God in all generation, he now reaches out to us and our children in a very personal and visible way, pledging to us with sign and seal of baptism, his gospel word and promise. It's on me, the whole of your salvation, from start to finish. Did you see and witness that this afternoon too? God triune taking each of these dear little ones in his arms, so to speak, and promising each little girl by his own triune name, calling them by their name, and giving them this appointed visible sign and seal of baptism, that they may know, that they may trust their whole salvation is on him and through him. The promises of God are sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior, for them. And the Lord now promised these four babies, these four young ones, to be for us all in this service, in his triune name, Ariel, Ivy, Alora, Christy, your hope of fullness of life now, and everlasting salvation and life to come. It's on me. Really, truly, freely, repeatedly, totally, gladly, and constantly. It's from me, it's through me, it's by me, it's with me, it's on me. Oh, don't forget it. These dear darling children baptized in my name. Tell them, parents, about it. And may they ever trust and follow the Lord God and repent of sin and believe in him and never be put to shame, trusting his word and promise. You know, in Proverbs 8:17, wisdom's voice calls out there most invitingly to the children of the covenant and to the youth, and how many there are here. I love those who love me, and those who diligently, also translated early, seek me will find me. I, Jehovah God, from everlasting to everlasting, promise you this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear congregation, do you see it with me? What a mercy and loving kindness this is from God when He so reaches out to us and to our children, making a difference with us where there is no inherent difference at all from anyone else in the world of ourselves. But God comes to us saying, it's on me. Speaking of the greatest treasure ever imaginable. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life be added to you. Ah, here we have the whole message of the gospel, really. Which message God doesn't add to in baptism, but He more royally and personally just reinforces that gospel message and promise with baptism, more fully declaring it to us and our children. It's on me! Life, salvation, righteousness, forgiveness of sin, peace, joy, fruitfulness, and purpose, and love, and ultimately also heaven itself. It's all on me, and through me, and by me, and in me. Do you hear and understand it? Beloved congregation, each and every one here. Well, let's move from explanation to some application. First of all, do you see with me, dear parents here, and also all of us who have had children baptized, what a great privilege and encouragement it is that God grants to us and our children a personal, lifelong, divinely guaranteed promise that with Him and through Him and in Him and by Him is salvation and life eternal. You know, when you go out for dinner and someone in the group says, when the bill comes around, or even before you ordered, it's on me. I mean, you appreciate that, right? Well, do you appreciate? Do I appreciate what God says to us and to our children in the gospel and with the sacrament of holy baptism, that sign and seal of the promise of the gospel with an oath from Him? Clearly, it's such a wonderful privilege, isn't it? To be given this promise and pledge from God, signed and sealed even with His oath in His triune name, and to have it given to our children even as they are born. Wow. How amazing. How blessed we are with such gospel favors from God. We truly are blessed with such gospel favors. And in that regard, dear families here in front here, we really do rejoice with you as a whole congregation, seeing each of your children now personally and royally baptized by God in His triune name. Of course, this privilege of the covenant of grace of God reaching out to believers and their seed, well, it comes with responsibilities, doesn't it? As covenant parents and also as covenant children. It's your calling, dear couples here this afternoon, and all covenant parents. What's your calling? It's your calling to do your utmost to teach and to demonstrate to your children what a great God the Lord is, and how we are to look to Him and trust in Him. You are to tell and to model the life of faith and repentance and obedience and true love before God and all others to our children. And with our children, you are to do that in a humble, honest, upright, consistent way, God helping you. We need to explain and to exalt, don't we, the gospel truth and way which the Lord also proclaims in Proverbs 9, in our 9:11 text. So that the children, yes, from their earliest years and throughout life, come to understand the theme of this sermon and of all Scripture. Life, true and everlasting life, it's on me, saith the Lord. We need to pray and work, don't we, that our children see and learn this. The earlier, the better. And that by God's grace they grow up saying with us early and more as they get older, yes, amen, my life, my salvation, my hope, my purpose, my future, my eternal well-being, it's all with the Lord in and through Him. He is my hope and my salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thinking of this, what a calling covenant parents have. And what a sad thing it is when parents get their children baptized, where God affirms life is all from Him and through Him by grace through faith. But then that's not further taught and applied and followed up on in the training and upbringing of the children. I don't know. Does that happen here? Are we as parents and grandparents and just as church family too, are we taking the appointed role that we have as covenant members, covenant parents, covenant congregation as seriously as we should? And also promise you parents this afternoon as you would, God helping you? But here again, our text is very encouraging if you think it through. It's not easy being a parent in this 9/11 day. We are to be Christian, faithful, covenant parents, but not in our own strength, but in daily, humble dependency upon the triune God of the covenant of grace. He doesn't say, I'm here for your children, but not for you. He's there for you as you have to raise your children. We may look to the promise-keeping God in our families and with all the family needs, with each and every child. And when the children are older, what wisdom is needed to lead them rightly, each one and all of them? It's on me, says the Lord. Also that responsibility. And may that encourage and help you, every parent here, also in trying to raise your family in God's ways. Yes, seeing so many failures perhaps. Looking back or looking at the present, seeing many difficulties or looking ahead, feeling many anxieties. Listen, by me, says the Lord, your days will be multiplied and years of your life will be added to you. Let this text help you see your calling and encourage you and me in our calling to look to the Lord as parents, also in the raising of our children in the fear of the Lord. Speak oft to your children about God, and speak oft to God about your children. Another application to be made from our text is, what a responsibility our covenant children and youth have. Dear covenant baptized children and youth here, and how many there are. You are to call upon the Lord from the days of your childhood. You are to trust and obey Him and His Word. How wrong and wicked when as covenant youth, being raised in the bosom of the church and under the gospel message and in the embrace of the covenant, yet to turn your back on God and His gospel word and way. Is there a covenant child or youth in church here like that who perhaps from childhood has heard the way of salvation and God has given you the sign and seal of His gospel covenant promise that your salvation is of the Lord, but you don't care. Till this day, even maybe you're beyond the years of discretion, but you continue living apart from Him, remaining unconverted, uncommitted to Him. I hope there's not many like that, and I hope there's many that are committed to Him. What if you aren't? Think about it. Think what that means. Imagine someone saying with a restaurant meal, at a very fancy restaurant, it's on me. Or saying to you, we're gonna go to Hawaii for a 2-week trip. It's on me. And we might go to BC or to Alberta to the ski slopes and with all the ski passes for 1 week, and it's all on me. And you know what? Next year we're going for an Alaska cruise for 2 weeks and it's on me. And would you say, no, I'm not interested. I won't have it, so I refuse even to consider it or to go. You wouldn't do that, I don't think. And that comparison really doesn't compare and count at all to our text. God grant that there won't be covenant seed here, indeed not one from among us, one attending here, that will refuse to humble themselves before the Lord and submit to Him as the one and only hope and help in salvation from beginning to end. Even now with this sermon and witnessing just now the four baptisms this afternoon, the Savior yet earnestly calls to all people to repent of sin and to trust Him as only Savior God, who says about the whole gospel promise and way, it's on me. Do you hear this gospel call, one and all, where God says also to you, whoever you be, and no matter how long you may have perhaps rejected Him, or how sinful you have been, and how far wrong you presently are, perhaps even now. Do you hear the Lord say to you through me, his mouthpiece, and with the sacrament of baptism, my son, my daughter, backsliding and rebellious people as you are in yourself, by me, your days shall be multiplied and years be added to you. It's on me. I'm still offering it freely and fully to whoever hears. Truly, shouldn't we all once and again respond with submission and faith and repentance and thanksgiving and praise and devotion for such great mercy and love for such undeserving sinners as we all always are in and of ourselves? Will today maybe be the day of someone's first time conversion among us, hearing these glorious gospel tidings from our blessed God in this 9:11 verse? It's on me. What if someone says, well, no, I'm not interested. I just refuse. Well, the reading of Proverbs 9 tells us those who won't follow wisdom's way, they end up in folly's path. And that path ends in terrible destruction. We read it. The chapter ends saying the dead are there in folly's feast house. And those that continue in sin and rebellion following Lady Folly, oh, what do we read? Her guests are in the depths of hell. Is that the way you will go? Anyone here among us? Doesn't every godly parent pray and urge, no, my son, my daughter, don't go that way, but rather seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Oh, listen to Proverbs 9:11, if you will live and die well and go to heaven hereafter. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. Well, with this text, dear congregation, and from the sacrament of baptism, all I really wish to press home this service is to everyone here, what God says, our gracious covenant, keeping triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, really, concerning our complete and eternal salvation, it's on me. That's the gospel message. Freely, it's on me and fully. And you heard and seen it again this afternoon most clearly. It's on me to know and be led in wisdom's way. Yes, and it's all free, now and forevermore. For by me, your days will be multiplied and your years added to you. It's like Jesus saying, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Yes, thus saith the Lord. And you know the good news is that never in any case will the Lord's bank account of gospel salvation run out or his wells of salvation run dry. You know, if we say it's on me in paying the bills of others, even if we were billionaires like Bill Gates and others, at some point we would have to say, well, that's it. I can't say nor do this anymore for anyone, for I'm all out of funds. But God in Christ Jesus, you know this, do you, don't you? He can make this offer and sincere promise, it's on me, to countless multitudes in all generations to the last day without limitation. For infinite and exhaustible are the riches of God in and through Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. And therefore, as favored people of God, let's pass the gospel message onto the whole wide world, that they too may know of our great and gracious God and Savior who says, it's on me. Oh, thanks be to God for this blessed gospel, these good tidings of great joy in a broken world of bankrupt sinners in this 9/11 age. Blessed be your name, O God, great God of our salvation. And thanks for teaching us by word and sacrament. Everything's dependent on you and freely given to us from you in you and by you. It's on me. May it never have to testify against any one of us and our families. No, but grant us in our lives and in our homes and responsibilities ever to glory in this gospel and to help spread it far and wide. Isn't it a great gospel? It's on me. Thus saith the Lord God Triune in Jesus' name with word and sacrament. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray.